Digest Radio.
I buy the Hot Pockets. I go in grocery stores. I'm like, yeah, I'll get these. I've never eaten a Hot Pocket and then afterwards been, I'm glad I ate that. I'm always like, I'm going to die. I paid for that? Did I eat it or rub it on my face? My back hurts.
Strategist Radio.
Raw and real. No crap. No fluff. No hype. Just pure strategic pleasure from his playbook to yours. Love, affection, and looking out for you. Live from the Trinity Webworks Business Radio Studios on the Trinity Broadcast Network. The Strategist Radio Live with your Italian ace in the hole, TJ Marino.
Ready, check. We're all here now. We are all in at 6:02 for your Thursday morning. Today we're looking at our June 11th Strategist Radio program. Glad to have you on board. Albert Einstein once said, "The gift of fantasy has meant more to me than my talent for absorbing positive knowledge." And Samuel Johnson once said, "My dear friend, clear your mind of can't." So here's where we're going today for our Thursday edition of the program, because you're so special and I dig you a lot. Marketing strategy, how to market to millennials. As entrepreneurs, you must purposefully continue to scan the environment, the market environment, so that you can accurately identify and understand all market segments. Now, one of the latest misunderstood consumer groups is that of millennials, the Wires, the Generation Wires. In fact, the assumptions about how to connect with the millennial market segment have left marketing strategists puzzled about the needs and wants, the psychographics and behavioral attributes of this consumer group. So then how do we more productively market to millennials? We'll talk about that on the program today. Also, seven processes to secure success and profitability when starting a business. We'll check in with our friends at Entrepreneur. And a couple of specials today from the one, the only, Elon Musk. He's the CEO, you know, and CTO of SpaceX, CEO, product architect of Tesla Motors, and chairman of SolarCity, along with co-founder of PayPal, worth about $13 billion. I think he knows what he's talking about relative to business. Elon will check in on today's edition and talk about rapid fire, and he'll also talk about top insights for success. All ahead on this edition, Strategist Radio Live. Fasten up. Well, welcome to your Thursday. It's been a glorious West Coast week, weather-wise, 90s, high 80s, little bit of breeze. Oh, it's wonderful. Welcome, summer. So glad to have it on board. So glad to have you on board, too. Thanks for joining me every morning, Monday through Friday, from 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific time on a global scale as we reach out to over 120 countries globally. 13th year of the program. And by the way, if you do happen to miss a program, that's cool. No worries, because each day we take the live airing and we turn it into a podcast right after the show, and we make all the archives available for you on the hub for free at tjmoreno.com. So let's check in with our friends at Entrepreneur, and seven ways to ensure success and profitability when starting a business. And I want to thank our good friend Jeff Woods, who's a contributor, host of a Menti podcast, and also medical device salesman, entrepreneur, real estate investor, just to name a few. According to Jeff, most entrepreneurs come up with an idea for a business. They put together a business plan. They raise the necessary capital, either investors or from personal savings, or maybe they're taking a bank loan, then bring it to market and hope it survives. The unfortunate truth is, as you know, as an entrepreneur, most will not. And part of entrepreneurship really tugs on each one of these particular attributes. You know, the business plan, raising funding, the feasibility study, going in and doing our analyses, whether it be the market analysis, could be the competitive analysis, might be the financial performance. That's what we do as entrepreneurs. So some of the things you want to consider, here's seven high levels in starting a business and leaning towards success. Number one, Jeff says, start by identifying a customer you want to serve. And he's right on the money. You see, you're the one that decides who you are developing your product or service for. You are creating a company to service a particular industry, a market, a need, a niche, achieving a goal, solving a problem, or satisfying a need, right? Jeff says, imagine if you could spend all day with the people you enjoy the most. Well, who would they be? Now, imagine if you could add value to these people you care so much about. You could enrich their lives. And what if you could get paid for it? Jeff says, for many of today's most successful entrepreneurs, this is not a figment of their imagination. It is their reality. Because they begin by identifying the customers they want to serve. And so should you. Begin by identifying the people you want to wake up with every day and trade your life with to serve, right? Focus more on what it is they need, what it is they want. A hole in a particular market. That's how the computer age really came into the fray, when Gates and Jobs really wanted to make personal computing a mainstay because they believed it would help enhance people's lives, get more work done, be more productive, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Thing is they needed to keep the cost down. All right. Talk to customers. That's number two. Now that you've identified your ideal customers, your prospects, suspects, now you have two options, according to Jeff. You can guess what products or services they want, which a lot of people do. I call that the gut. Or you can do a little qualitative research. That's right. You can walk right up, give them a call, and you can talk to them and ask them what they want. Seems like an obvious choice, right? You'd be surprised on how many people don't do that. Jeff continues by saying that the reality is that too many businesses guess, there's the gut again, what their customers want. This is the reason the majority of startups fail. They don't understand the needs, the wants, the desires of their selected, their defined target audience. So, here's the deal. You want to make sure to set yourself apart. This means you're going to talk to prospects and you're going to ask questions. You're going to be prepared. You're going to catalog or journal what you're hearing as part of the discussion. And ask the questions with the goal of identifying a problem that is deep and is painful. And once you find a pain that is consistently shared among them, you can then know what would be your next step. And the next step, number three, according to Jeff, is let your customers create your business. And this is kind of a new paradigm shift over the last 5-10 years. Over the course of this week, I shared some snippets from Dr. Michael Porter and others where we really talked about how the market really helps us to develop our marketing strategy, our labeling, our distribution channels, our pricing, form, type, usage, etc. So let your customers create your business. Your customers are marketing geniuses, according to Jeff, and I agree, as they can tell you exactly what solution will solve their pain. Jeff said he followed this process himself after launching his podcast, The Mentee. He says he interviewed his listeners to find a pain they wanted to solve, and they told him they wanted to learn how to find their own high-level mentors and create a 7-figure network. And then they told him what specific topics they wanted to learn, and in the process wrote the content for him. And that's really what we do here on this program. And we've been in this thing 13 years. I came from terrestrial radio and then got involved in digital radio, and now we do a hybrid. But you really set the stage for what I talk about each and every day on this program. We're getting hundreds, if not thousands, of emails each month, and we sift through them, the production crew does, and we go through it together, and we say, okay, what's the common denominator here? Where's the biggest pain? We look at the trends. We read the trades. We look at analytics like what's trending on Twitter or on LinkedIn or on Facebook. That helps us produce this program each and every day. You set the standard. So number four, you pre-sell your product. You know, at the point that you've identified your target audience, you have identified their wants, their needs, their goals, their problems. Now it's time to come up with a product. You've done the product based on what they've told you they wanted or needed, and now it's time to pre-sell your product. At this point, you need to identify how much you should charge for your solution. Now remember, your customers are the marketing geniuses. So what do? You ask them. If you were to bring something like this to market, how much would you pay for this? Simple, right? Keep it easy. Then ask them to pay for it up front, put their money where their mouth is. You can even incentivize them to jump on board as maybe even a beta user, beta tester, right? We've seen that before. Or maybe a founding member by adding additional value to them. Here's a few ways. You can give them intimate access to you as the founder of your organization. You might even consider offering to lock this introductory rate in for their life, right? Number five, Jeff says launch the business when you have sufficient funds. Now, what are sufficient funds? Well, once you've pre-sold enough to cover your startup costs, you're ready to take action and build the business. This reduces your risk by not having to fund as much of the launch yourself. It also allows you to start with a strong customer base that you can work closely with to ensure the product is exactly what they're looking for and be ready to retool that. But again, how much money is it going to take? And we call that a financial pro forma, where we take a look at the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and we sit back and say, okay, what's this going to cost us? And how long before we hit that, you know, as we look at our break-even analysis, how long before we go from red to black? Number six, Jeff says, create your MVP and let your customers improve it. What's an MVP? Do you know what that is? It's not, yeah, you might think you know what that is, most valuable player. No, it's minimum viable product. Your job is to get a minimum viable product to your founding members, your inner circle, I like to call it. If you have done a good job setting expectations, these members are expecting to give you feedback to enhance the product. So don't worry about it if it's not perfect. Let them help you make it better. You're going to end up with a better product, and they'll feel emotionally tied to you and the solution, which makes them proud. And finally, you've got to think about scaling your business. Jeff completes this by adding number seven, and it's time to scale. You know, a few ways you can go about doing this is perhaps by investing in marketing and considering affiliate relationships and joint ventures. Maybe you can leverage off of the talent of other influencers. Maybe that talent has access to hundreds of thousands, if not millions. You can confidently invest in these areas because you have a product that was created for your ideal customers. It was created by them. You can remember that. So this means you're not guessing that whether or not it'll work. You know it'll work because your customers told you so. All right. And if you're ready to take the plunge into entrepreneurship, Jeff says follow these steps. I agree, to guarantee or at least get you much closer to success and profitability. Again, I want to thank our friends at Entrepreneur, particularly Jeff Woods, contributor, host of Mentee Podcast, medical device salesman, entrepreneur, and real estate investor.
Strategist Radio.
Strategist Radio, happy to have you along for our Thursday morning. A couple minutes, we'll talk about how to market to millennials. But first, let's check in with a true influencer, a business success. Elon Musk is the CEO and CTO of SpaceX, product architect of Tesla Motors, and chairman of SolarCity. He's also the co-founder of PayPal. Plays a little game. We'll have a little fun here with him. Elon Musk plays Rapid Fire. Enjoy.
Like kind of an immediate, yeah.
Don't think about it, just say it.
How much cash do you have in your wallet right now?
$40.
Beach or mountains?
Mountains with a view of the beach.
Who is the last person you've texted?
You know, I don't text very often. So the last person I emailed was you to say that I'm running late.
When was the last time you astonished yourself?
I was in China meeting with some very high-level people and I ripped my pants.
Favorite planet?
Earth, of course.
If you could take one person to Mars, who would it be?
But we don't like have to populate the planet
or
anything.
No, no, no.
Someone extremely fertile. Yeah. I'd probably take like Ben Franklin or Winston Churchill or Shakespeare or something. I mean, who's going to be really interesting to talk to?
Favorite beer?
You know, I don't drink beer.
Favorite book?
Lord of the Rings.
Favorite rocket?
Not including the ones that I make.
Yes.
The Zenit is probably the next best rocket.
Favorite astronaut?
I guess I kind of like Buzz because he's like super pro Mars.
Strategist Radio.
Pretty much a normal guy. There you go. See, everybody puts their pants or pumps on the same way. It's all about the drive. It's all about innovation. Elon Musk checks in again. This time he talks about top insights for success. Take this to heart.
If you want to do something really innovative, you have to apply a sort of first principles analysis. Don't reason by analogy. Analogies are referencing the past. First principles means you look at the most fundamental truths in a particular arena, and the things that really are almost indisputably correct, and you reason up from there to a conclusion. And if you see that conclusion is at odds with what people generally believe, then you have an opportunity. Mm. Now, you can't operate like that on all things because it takes too much mental horsepower. So most of your life you have to operate by reasoning by analogy. But if you really want to innovate, you must reason from first principles to identify the problem.
Well, I think it's important to have a very apply critical thinking to... This may sound trite, but to apply critical thinking to what one is doing. By that I mean just the fundamentals of logic, you know, of do you have the right axioms, are they relevant, and are you making the right conclusions based on those axioms? That's the essence of critical thinking, and yet it is amazing how often people fail to do that. I think wishful thinking is... innate in the human brain. You want things to be the way you wish them to be, and so you tend to filter information that you shouldn't filter. That's the most common flaw that I see.
Really, really liking what you do, whatever area that you get into, given that, you know, even if you're the best of the best, there's always a chance of failure. So I think it's important that you really like whatever you're doing. If you don't like it, life is too short. I'd say if you like what you're doing, you think about it even when you're not working. I mean, it's something that your mind is drawn to, and if you don't like it, you just really can't make it work, I think.
The biggest mistake in general that I've made, and I'm trying to correct for that, is to put too much of a weighting on somebody's talent and not enough on their personality. And I've made that mistake several times. In fact, then I would say, I'm not going to make that mistake again, and then I would make it again. And I think it actually matters whether somebody has a good heart. It really does. And I've made the mistake of thinking that sometimes it's just about the brain.
It's very important to like the people you work with. Otherwise, life, you know, your job is going to be quite miserable. And in fact, we have a... a strict no assholes policy at SpaceX, and we fire people if they're. I mean, we give them a little bit of warning, but if they continue to be an asshole, then they're fired.
I think also people tend to overweight risk on a personal level. It's one thing if you've got, you know, a mortgage to pay and kids to support, and that if you were to deviate from your job, how are you going to feed your family and pay the rent? And okay, that's understandable, but let's say you're young and you're just coming out of college or coming out of high school or whatever, what do you risk? You know, you're not going to starve.
So I would encourage you to take risks now. Do something bold. You won't regret it. Depending upon how well you want to do, and particularly if you're starting a company, you need to work super hard. So what does super hard mean? Well, when my brother and I were starting our first company, instead of getting an apartment, we just rented a small office and we slept on the couch. And we showered at the YMCA. And We're so hot up, we had just one computer. So the website was up during the day, and I was coding at night. 7 days a week, all the time. And I sort of briefly had a girlfriend in that period, and in order to be with me, she had to sleep in the office. So
work like hell. I mean, you just have to put in, you know, 80 to 100-hour weeks every week.
Gosh. And then a lot of work.
That all those things improve the odds of success.
Okay.
Strategist Radio.
Strategist Radio Live 622. How different are you from Elon Musk, really, if you think about it? I mean, you may not look like Elon. You may be a girl, for God's sakes. But the essence of drive and work prowess and perseverance and innovation and working towards disruption, healthy disruption within the marketplace, and the no-quit attitude. I mean, my first gigs, I was sleeping in an attic. I swear to God, my first gig was in Bakersfield, California. I was doing overnight radio. I was making minimum wage. I couldn't even afford an apartment, but I wanted to do show business, and I wanted to entertain so badly that you do what you got to do. I've lost millions. I've won and worked. But here's the thing. You got to work. You got to stay with it. You've got to hang around exceptional people, stay away from the negative Neds and the negative Nellies, and believe in yourself, believe in your product, and know that there's a market out there. Identify that market that needs that goal achieved, or that problem solved, or that satisfaction of something that they need or they want, and then build it, and then believe in it, and stay with it. But be realistic, all right? You know, that's why it's tough. You know, that's why everybody doesn't go out there and become Elon Musk, because most people just give up, or they're unrealistic about their expectations. We see that particularly in the literary industry. You know, one of the divisions here at Trinity is working with authors, both traditionally published and independent self-published authors. And they hit the wall. They think that they're going to sell a gabillion books and they're going to be on the New York Times bestsellers list, or they think that they're going to instantly become a keynote speaker. Well, the keynote speaker venues are shrinking, unless, of course, you are innovative and disruptive and you align yourself with those that are either putting on these events as maybe a co-founder of an event or a co-organizer, or maybe you're putting it on yourself. So if the market is not available or is shrunk, then you have to find other innovative ways to make it happen. Tomorrow on the program, as we round out the week for Friday, we will do book marketing strategy. And this time tomorrow, we'll talk about how to grow your online book business. And really, tomorrow's program focuses on independent and traditional publishing and having that web property, that hub. It's essential. And if it's wrong, you're screwed. But it'll also be beneficial to just having a business and making sure that your web properties and what you're doing online is making sense. So let's quickly get through this millennial, this marketing to millennials. This is the generation wires, right? So who are they? Okay, well, they're people that were basically born in the mid to latter part of the 80s. And now look where they are today. All right. And so, you know, the boomers, the Xers, now we got the Yers. And there's a lot of misconceptions out there that they've got this whole different demonstrative attitude about work and flexibility, and you got to kiss their butts all the time, and they come from this place of entitlement. Well, there's been a number of recent studies that have been done on a scholarly scale, which carries a lot more weight because it's peer-reviewed and it's got to go through an entire process. I'm not just talking about someone's blog post, because if you're going to set your hat on a blog post and you're not going directly to the scholarly writings that have been peer-reviewed, then it's garbage in, garbage out. So here's what there was an IBM study All right? And IBM's a pretty strong company. They conducted a global study that aimed to separate the fact from fiction so that they could learn what millennials really are all about. So the myth, here's one of the myths, for example. And you have to understand that this is part of consumer behavior. How do they behave differently? If you're going to write marketing messaging, you're not just going to write the same market message for somebody who's a boomer as somebody that's, you know, 35 years old, 30 years old, right? There's a different culture. It's different societies, different times, different geos. Okay, so here's one of the myths. I need unlimited vacation and major flexibility in my job or otherwise. Busted. Here's what they really want. They want to make a positive impact at work. Here's another myth. I'm number one. No. Survey says, I just want a little transparency within the organization. Here's the next myth. Personal, business, who cares? Share everything. Well, according to the study, they say that they don't mix social, business, and pleasure. Isn't that interesting? Here's another myth. I can't handle it. Let's take a vote. Well, busted. Whatever you say, boss, is really the perspective that they take. Another myth. I need to save the world. I'm out of here. Well, here's the truth based on the survey. I want a job in the fast lane. So you can see how these translations can be misconstrued. So you want to bring it all together. You're making a grave mistake anytime you allow generational stereotypes to affect how you treat those you work with, stakeholders, employees, partners, etc. Yet companies to date make these wholesale changes that are based solely on what is assumed about younger workers, about younger partners. See, don't put yourself in a box. Don't be lazy. Get out there and do your research and make sure that the research isn't just a bunch of blog posts. Even the stuff I tell you on this program, please go out and prove me right or wrong. Go out and take what I teach you from an MBA's perspective and a person that's in the trenches every day. But go do your research. Do your due diligence. Don't be lazy. Take what I say and take it to the next level. Okay, Marino says that. Let's see how that might apply to my business. Let's see if it's relevant to my business. And let me go do my research. Okay? We're a team, remember? I bring up the idea because you say this is what I want to talk about. And together, we make our magic. Because our magic is hard work. It's being critical thinkers. What? Problem, solution. Problem, solution. Right? Okay. I love you very much. God bless you. Make it a great rest of your Thursday. You're fabulous. Remember that. You're the only you. And you've got your weaknesses, but you know what? You're beautiful, and you've got amazing talents. Don't ever forget that. And anybody tells you differently, tell them Moreno says... Book marketing strategy tomorrow, how to grow your online book business. Thanks for being my friend. Please go out and love somebody today. Make it a great Thursday. Kelly, close it out.
Live from the Strategist Business Radio Studio, this has been the Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino. We'd love to hear from you. Thoughts, comments, ideas, victories, and even your business's silliest business spoofs. We invite you to contact us anytime. If you'd like to share your business best practice strategy on an upcoming edition of the show with our global audience, email Tony at support@tjmarino.com. Be sure to make your way to the Hub and help yourself to all the fresh, relevant, and timely business strategy materials, including the complete radio archive library, by visiting and bookmarking tjmarino.com. If you would like Tony to set aside the time to review your present business strategy, send your request in care of support@tjmarino.com. We'll see you again Monday through Friday, 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific, for our next raw and real intimate get-together on the Strategist Radio Live.